Tonight, AT&T and DirecTV's merger deal. Plus, Twitter considers buying SoundCloud. And are Samsung and Apple finally making up? Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 90 for Monday, May 19th, 2014. This episode of Tech News Tonight is brought to you by Nature Box, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like apple pie oat clusters. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah Lane, and let's get right into our top story. To join us is John Brodkin, the senior IT reporter over at Ars Technica. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey. All right, so let's just talk about this AT&T DirecTV merger. We're talking $48.5 billion acquisition, of course, AT&T buying DirecTV, which, if you want to compare it to Comcast and Time Warner Cable, is about $3.5 billion more than that deal. So what is unique about this deal itself? On the surface, looks like a telecom buying a satellite TV provider. Is there more to it?
Well, they're, you know, a telecom that's more and more becoming an ISP, and they want to keep pace with Comcast. Since Comcast is buying Time Warner Cable, they want to remain as big as Comcast after that acquisition. They also said that they're going to use DirecTV to create some sort of internet TV service within 12 to 18 months after the acquisition. That would probably help them deliver video to mobile devices like phones and tablets. And they're apparently also really interested in the NFL. DirecTV has an exclusive contract with the NFL for Sunday Ticket, all the games on Sunday. And the deal, AT&T DirecTV, is apparently partially contingent on the NFL renewing its contract with DirecTV.
So you mentioned the NFL. That's obviously extremely popular. And if DirecTV has an exclusive with the NFL, that would be important. Is it worth $48.5 billion, though?
I don't know. I don't have even $1 billion, so it's kind of hard for me to say. If I were AT&T, maybe it is. I mean, if there's a big trend towards consolidation, these companies just want to get bigger and bigger. And if Comcast is getting bigger, then AT&T wants to get bigger.
Do you think AT&T is going to have an issue with this deal going through? Do you think regulators, if compare it to Comcast, it does seem like they're keeping up with each other. Is there anything in this deal that seems like it's a red flag for passing through?
I don't know. I mean, Comcast and Time Warner Cable is, also one that's going to get a lot of regulatory attention. I feel like once we see whether regulators are going to pass that one, we might have a better deal on AT&T DirecTV. I mean, they did pass the Comcast NBC Universal merger, which to me suggests that, you know, mergers are typically going to go through, but with a few conditions, just to make it seem like they're, it won't be too harmful to consumers.
Well, now that we're speaking with speaking about AT&T and consumers, you have an article today called AT&T claims to embrace net neutrality but could still offer fast lanes. How could it possibly do both?
Well, net neutrality can be defined however you want it.
Right.
The issue here is that there are rules that the FCC put in 2010. They were struck down by a court, and now the FCC is going to replace them with something weaker than that. AT&T, in order to get this acquisition approved, they're saying we'll follow the old rules for 3 years. Now, most people interpret the old rules as saying you can't block traffic and you can't charge web services for a faster path to consumers. But Comcast, which got its NBC Universal acquisition approved partly because it agreed to follow these rules for 7 years, is now saying that the rules never banned fast lanes. So, you know, AT&T hasn't actually said how they interpret the rules yet, but I mean, I think it's probable that they would interpret it in a similar way as Comcast, which would mean that they would, you know, think that they could still charge for fast lanes, which would mean that the rules that they're offering to follow would be no more strict than the rules they'd have to follow anyway. And also, they're only offering to do it for 3 years. So, I mean, you get 3 years out of it. It's then after that, anything goes.
And yeah, these net neutrality rules are still getting figured out on the legislative end as well. But it does seem like both AT&T and Comcast and providers do have at least an argument that works in their favor, that as long as everybody has the same kind of baseline service, sure, why not allow people to pay more if they want something that's a quote fast lane. But do you think that they can get away with this, especially since if they're following old rules that have been struck down in court, well, those old rules are kind of moot, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is what the FCC does next. And it sounds like the FCC has basically accepted the argument you just made that as long as everyone gets a baseline level of service, it would be okay for AT&T or Comcast to, you know, charge Netflix or YouTube or someone for a faster path to consumers. There are, you know, the true network neutrality advocates, you know, and the people who hate Comcast, they'll say that any sort of prioritization is wrong because it puts everyone else at a disadvantage and it gives incentives to the ISPs to not upgrade the infrastructure on all the other links. So far, I mean, the FCC, it looks like they're not going to ban Fastlane. So unless there's a big change in course, I think probably the ISPs will basically get what they want.
What about this CDN or content delivery network that Comcast built that's technically not a fast lane, but will still allow them to charge for video delivery?
Right. So right now, if you're a video delivery service like Netflix, but say you're not as big as Netflix, so you're not big enough to build your own content delivery network, you're probably buying a content delivery network or CDN service from a third-party provider like Akamai. What this does is it caches video, stores it nearer to consumers, and it makes sure that it goes across an optimal path. So it doesn't, you know, take a bunch of, it doesn't, you know, go the long way. Comcast is basically going to offer its own CDN, which does allow video providers to essentially speed up their traffic or deliver it more efficiently to Comcast customers. But it's not technically a fast lane in the net neutrality sense, because once it gets to the last mile or the last few neighborhoods, it theoretically would go as fast or as slow as everything else.
So how do you think this will play into how net neutrality is about to be defined, if it does at all?
I don't think it's going to play into it much. I think you'll hear some consumer advocates say it should be considered, because even though a CDN isn't technically a fast lane, Comcast could use its market power to abuse and to shut out, you know, smaller providers. They'll argue that. But so far, the FCC chairman has said he doesn't think interconnection, which is a related issue, is really a net neutrality thing. So there really just isn't any evidence that the FCC is all that interested in it. I mean, that could change, but for now, I kind of doubt it's going to really come up that much in the FCC's net neutrality discussions.
John Brodkin is a senior IT reporter over at Ars Technica. Thanks so much for joining us, John, and shedding a little bit more light on what we can expect from the future of net neutrality and the big internet providers.
Thanks for having me.
Tell folks before you go where they can find more of your work online.
ArsTechnica.com, ArsTechnica.com.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Before we get into some of our other news of the day, let's talk about snacking. It's my favorite activity, and it's easy to say that you're going to eat right. That's the way I always start my day. But when you're starving, it's 3 p.m., and then they just filled the candy jar, and then you're kind of cranky, and you got more work to do. You know how it goes. You just go to the, you eat junk. But don't give in. Keep your eye on both looking good and feeling great with the right kind of snacks at naturebox.com/twit. Once you go there, click on the continue button to choose between three subscription options, and then you just place your order. Now, as a member, you can select the kind of snacks you want in your monthly box that gets delivered to you. Vegan, gluten conscious, lactose free. You've got lots of choices. Non-GMO, of course. And then you can also select by taste. I happen to be more of a sweet person, but you might be savory, or you might like some of the spicy offerings as well. NatureBox sends these snacks right to your door, free shipping anywhere in the U.S., and the snacks are really great. Now, I happen to be a big fan of the mango almond bites. Again, I like my little, it's a little sweet tooth, but it's good sweet. You look at the ingredients. This is not junk at all. This is actually really good for you. Vitamins and minerals, all zero trans fats, zero high fructose corn syrup, nothing artificial ever. Nature Box is the snack happy gift, and it keeps on giving. You can order a 3-month, 6-month, 12-month subscription for yourself, that special someone, family, or friend. Time to snack smarter, everybody. Forget the vending machine. Get in shape with healthy, delicious treats. So remember, get 50% off your first box by going to naturebox.com/twit. Stay full. Stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/twit. And we thank NatureBox for their support of Tech News Tonight. All right, straight into the rest of the tech feed. Recode reports sources that say Twitter is considering a deal to buy Berlin-based music and audio sharing startup SoundCloud, which has described itself as the YouTube for audio and announced it had 250 million users back in October of 2013, which is around the same as Twitter's numbers, actually. Now, you might remember last year, Twitter launched its own standalone Twitter music app, but eventually pulled it due to lack of interest. SoundCloud doesn't have any deals with big music labels, not yet at least, although some copyrighted songs are on the service without the owner's permission. It's not exactly, it's a little messy. It's like the early days of YouTube. And others are uploaded by artists and labels that value the distribution SoundCloud provides. Now, earlier this year, a survey from music tech hacker Peter Watts found that Twitter users share SoundCloud links more than any other music service, including Spotify. So maybe this isn't such a weird acquisition after all. Google announced today that it's acquiring the app Divide, which was formerly known as Enterproid, and it creates a secure work environment on Android phones and iPhones. Divide works to separate your work apps from your personal apps if you're using the same device for personal use and work use, and it gives IT administrators control over just the work side. The Divide team will be joining Google's Android team, and it still remains to be seen whether Divide's iOS app will continue under Google. Sources point to no in my eight ball. The Justice Department has accused 5 members of the Chinese military of conducting economic cyber espionage against American companies, which range from nuclear to steel to solar energy sectors, officials tell the Washington Post. Attorney General Eric H. Holder Jr. said in a news conference, quote, "The range of trade secrets and other sensitive business information stolen in this case is significant and demands an aggressive response. Success in the international marketplace should be based solely on a company's ability to innovate and compete, not on a sponsor government's ability to spy and steal business secrets." In response, China's foreign ministry countered that the U.S. government fabricated facts in the indictment and is urging it to, quote, "correct the error immediately and withdraw its so-called prosecution." The National Security Agency, or NSA, is intercepting and archiving the audio of almost every cell phone conversation on the island nation of the Bahamas, according to documents provided by NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. The project is codenamed SomalGet and apparently was implemented without the knowledge of the Bahamian government. SomalGet is part of a broader NSA program called Mystic. We've talked about that in the past, which is what The Intercept calls being used to secretly monitor the telecommunications systems of the Bahamas and several other countries, which include Mexico, the Philippines, and Kenya, and gather information on a combined population of over 250 million people. Mystic scrapes mobile networks for so-called metadata. That's information that reveals things like time, source, destination of calls. But SomalGet is a tool that enables the NSA to pull and store the actual content of every conversation in an entire country. Awesome. In a joint statement this past Friday, Apple and Google's Motorola Mobility said they've agreed to settle all patent litigation between the two companies. This is reported by Reuters. This comes after Apple was awarded a $119.6 million in its patent lawsuit with Samsung, though the company had to pay Samsung $158,400 for patent infringement. Now, the Korea Times reports that Samsung and Apple have also agreed to begin talks to settle patent disputes out of court. This is according to people familiar with the matter, and it comes just days after the whole Apple-Google agreeal to dismiss their patent disputes, which would be a complete closure of the litigation that started way back in 2010. Florian Müller, a German-based intellectual property expert, said in an emailed interview, quote, "Things should come to an end during the summer. Apple doesn't have an end game strategy. Its agreement with Google shows that its management is looking for a face-saving exit strategy from Steve Jobs' thermonuclear ambitions that were based on a totally unrealistic assessment of the strength of Apple's patent portfolio." All right, finally, did you see Michael Jackson's cool performance at the Billboard Music Awards last night? Yeah, it was great. It's actually almost 5 years after he died, too. Jackson appeared via hologram and performed, I'm using quotes around that, the song Slave to the Rhythm, which comes from Jackson's posthumous Escape album, which is being released this month. Now, if you've never seen one before, hologram performances were probably popularized the most back when Tupac Shakur had a hologram at the 2012 Coachella Music Festival. The technology was created by visual effects studio Digital Domain and reportedly took 4 months and $400,000 at the time. Since then, Digital Domain has filed for bankruptcy. That was back in 2012. The companies that purchased the studio's assets wanted to halt the performance of Jackson's hologram at last night's awards, citing patent violations. But a Las Vegas judge agreed that the technology was indeed in the public domain. And that's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2. Write us at tn2@twit.tv. And don't miss Tech News Today tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sarah Lane. Happy Monday, and thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.